You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on another episode of Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Real good, my man. Off work, ready to talk. Let's go.
All right. Well, today we're going to talk about the Royals. Would you say a middle-of-the-road kind of farm system?
Yeah. I think a lot of people are down on it a little bit, but there's some guys in here that I like. I don't know if it's just me. I haven't seen a lot of guys as high on some of these dudes, so maybe we'll educate some people. We'll see. Some conversions.
Before we jump into them, remind everybody that you can be reached on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. And definitely reach out to us because we love talking prospects. We love talking dynasty leagues and just regular baseball. So let's jump right in and talk about kind of some of the guys that are a little bit closer. And I think there's a guy that you and I both really like, so I want to kind of start with him. That's Matt Stram of the pitching rotation. He kind of ended the year in the bullpen last year at Kansas City, but unfortunate incidents within the organization, which I'm sure everybody knows this time, Yordan Ventura passing away due to a car crash, means he may get an actual shot at the rotation. What are your thoughts on Stram?
I like Matt Stram. I think we all like him enough to where I think we should probably label him the official prospect of Friends of Fantasy Benefits. How about you?
I think especially you and I don't know how other people within Friends of Fantasy Benefits feel about him, but I think you and I are extremely high on him considering what he showed last year.
Yeah, there's nothing not to like. I mean, I know it was out of the bullpen, so a lot of this stuff might not carry over, but he hit 97 last year with the fastball from the left side. You know my lefty bias by now if you've been listening this long. It's a real thing. But I think this is actually a case of the guy actually backing it up. To be honest with you, before last year, I didn't even know who this guy was, and I feel like that's a slight on my part, but I did my research on him, and I'm thoroughly impressed with everything. You know, kid from North Dakota, so he's probably he's a late bloomer, 21st round pick, big frame, 6'3", probably upwards of 200 pounds. Everything he did in his major league debut out of the bullpen was nasty. Everything he's done in his minor league career has been filthy. He missed 2013 with, I believe, Tommy John, came back in 2014, pitched out of the bullpen. 2015, pitched out of the bullpen. His career minor league ERA is 3.2 in 30 starts, so that's pretty legit. 297 Ks in 246 innings. That's awesome. Went to a little-known junior community college, which probably makes him off the radar a little bit. But, I mean, as a starter, if he stays healthy, he's battled a lot of injuries throughout his career, like I've kind of stated. If he stays healthy as a starter, I think you're looking at a guy who's mid-rotation ceiling, but I think he can be higher than that. And in a dynasty league, you know, 20 teams or so, he needs to be owned because I think whatever role – I think there's more certainty about his role now, as we discussed earlier on this podcast, unfortunately. But someone has to step up and fill that gap. And I think Strom, being 25 years old, is going to be that guy. You know what I mean? So I think he's ready. And what he showed, right? I mean, it's natural progression.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has two above average to plus pitches in his fastball and his curve.
I love his curveball.
The changeup is
coming.
Adequate.
Not there. It's coming, but I think with the way he uses his two pitches, I've watched every inning of this kid pitch in the majors. I went back and watched him. I mean, it's out of the bullpen, but I love how he just attacks guys.
Mm-hmm.
Fearless. And there's something to that. And I think the two-pitch mix with him will play because he commands the curveball so well. He buries it a lot, but he buries it intentionally, or he'll throw it for a get-me-over strike. It's a really, really nice pitch. And I think with that, with him only having two pitches is fine because it throws over the top and it's a little bit more deception. So if he stays healthy, I think, honestly, God, I think they have a really, really solid asset. Could be a number two starter, could be mid-rotation, could be a high-leverage setup arm, but any of those are valuable in deep formats, so sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like we said, it's unfortunate what happened to Ventura. Yep. And him losing his life. And so I don't want to, you know, say like this kid has a real opportunity because of that. But unfortunately,
that's exactly what the case, though. And
yeah, it's exactly the case. And honestly, in terms of fantasy, for even for this year and going forward in terms of their current rotation, there's no one I want more than Strom other than Duffy. You know, I'll take Strom over Ian Kennedy. I'll take Strom over Carnes. Yep. I'll take Strom over Vargas.
I think this would have been the case if he wasn't guaranteed a rotation spot for me.
I completely agree.
And I think I'm glad you mentioned Danny Duffy. I know this is cheap and easy and lazy. It's not a lazy comp, I don't think, because I think it's a good comp. I think with Duffy's curveball, the frame, the left-handed velocity, I think they're very similar.
Yeah, they are.
And I think it's he's a good guy to jump on now. If for some reason he's available, go get him because he's going to go off the board pretty quickly in your supplement drafts, I think, because he might not be owned yet.
And I mean, and he's a guy that had it not been for, you know, the unfortunate incidents that we're talking about, he may have followed the Danny Duffy route in terms of being bounced between the rotation and the bullpen.
And, you know, everyone hates that when teams do that to young guys, but you can't really argue with what it's done for Duffy.
Yeah.
And what it's done for another example, Carlos Martinez. I don't think he's the starting pitcher he is if he doesn't go into the bullpen first. You know what I mean? I think Cardinals used to do that in the old school with Matt Morris. He came up out of the bullpen first, and then he was a starter, and he was a phenomenal starter for a long time. I think there's more recent examples of this, obviously, but I think it's a very solid way to do it. I'm going to ask you a real quick question. Who would you rather for next year?
Okay.
Would you rather Matt Strom or Julio Urias for redraft?
See,
I'm going to stop you already because the fact that that's close is telling enough.
You know, it is close. I mean, I think the stadiums that they pitch in are a wash. Obviously, the upside is with Urias.
Sure. Yep.
I just don't know how many innings the Dodgers are going to be willing to put on a 19-year-old's arm, and two, how stable his spot in the rotation will be.
And then on top of all those concerns, now you factor in draft price.
Oh, I mean, if you factor in draft price, it's Strom by a mile for me.
Exactly, and I think that's something people are sleeping on, right? I mean, I think that's a valid point. But you know, we talked about Strom already. The command is going to be borderline plus as he develops longer. The bullpen stint doesn't help the command, but I think he gets back into the rotation. He can be. We already touched on it. The plus curveball, borderline above average plus fastball, and the changeup is developing, but it's not critical for him to be successful. So it's a very nice package here in Matt Strom.
And he's really is.
Added bonus, if anyone's a believer in StatCast, which I'm really not for spin rates because I don't see how it correlates. I haven't been proven to me yet. Strom has a very high spin rate on the curveball, according to Longenhagen of Fangraphs. So I don't know if that does anything for anybody. So
yeah, he's currently going off the board as the number 366th pick overall in NFBC leagues. Like, to me, like, I'm all over that all day long. He will end up on every single one of my teams if that's his draft value, except for in the Friends Fantasy Benefits Dynasty League, because I'm assuming you're keeping him.
I was debating keeping him before everything happened, but now after everything happened, unfortunately, I definitely am. And sorry that happens that way, but, you know.
Let's move over to a different player. Anybody else that's closer to the major leagues that might have an impact this year?
Yeah, there's another guy I like a lot, Hunter Dozier. He was looked at the time as a first round pick. He was the first round pick of 2013 out of a little Texas school, Stephen F. Austin. He was looked at as a draft pick about as high as he was. I believe he went in like the 10 to 13 range. The Royals did it to save money for Sean Manaea in the second round. So they took Dozier in the first, which they liked Dozier. And you know what I mean? And Manaea had the injury concerns. He had a hip issue coming out of college and signability concerns. And they took Dozier to save a lot of money, and then they threw a lot of money at Manaea in the second round. And it paid off. They got both of them. And I mean, Manaea is not in Oakland anymore, but they did get Ben Zobrist, and they won a World Series. So I think you take that. But Dozier completely redid the swing. And the early results, although I'm going to caution you, they're in the Texas League and the Pacific Coast League, so take that for kind of granted or grain of salt a little bit. But the early results are impressive. The plate discipline is always been strong with him, and it still remains that way. The power upticks severely. Last year, he had 44 doubles and 23 homers in 486 at bats. That's big power. The batting average was strong. Strikes out a little much, but I think everybody does nowadays. I feel like I've mentioned that about literally hundreds of guys so far. I really like him. I think the question with him is if he plays third. If he doesn't stick at third, he plays in the outfield, and the Royals don't really have a steady outfield situation, so he could break in that way over Paulo Orlando, make Orlando kind of into a fourth outfielder, which I think he's better for. So Dozier's a sneaky guy for me if you want to add somebody that might have an impact this year that's not getting talked about either. So.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that could easily end up in their outfield. He could also easily end up kind of playing the outfield and playing third base. I'm sure they'll give Moustakas a little bit more rest coming off the injury and probably wanting to build up his trade value for midseason if they decide they're going to move him and they're not going to be able to compete. So I could see him kind of playing both positions. And they have... You know, Cuthbert right now or Cuthbert.
Yeah, Chesler Cuthbert. He's a guy. He's a utility guy. And I think the Royals, what they do things a weird way. It's almost like Ned Yost hazes his rookies. Like he makes them like they have to pitch out of the bullpen before they can be starters. Mm-hmm. They have to play a utility or play a bench spot before they can start. You know what I mean? Doesn't that seem like they do that with everybody? And it's kind of what's probably going to happen with Dozier, I think. He's going to bounce around this year. He's going to go ride the shuttle from, you know, Omaha to Kansas City, back and forth, and bench to start, outfield, infield. But if you can stomach and hold the roster spot for him this year, I think it'll pay off in the future.
Okay. So. Anybody else is close?
Quite a few. Jorge Bonifacio is in AAA, finally. This is a major prospect fatigue with this dude. I'm still not really a big fan. I hate the plate approach, although it was a little better last year. Last year, he had a strong OBP, 351 with 277 average. In prior years, it hasn't been that strong. Finally tapping into the power, 22 doubles, 19 homers. Again, he strikes out too much. Corner outfielder, he's been around forever. He was a big bonus signing in 2009 for the Royals out of Dominican Republic. So I understand if people are giving up on him probably twice by now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But to put that in perspective, he was... he turned pro the same year Mike Trout did, and Mike Trout's done a lot of things well since then. He's not the same type of player, but that just puts you an idea of how the timeline's been. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to be a strong average guy. He probably hits 15, 20 homers. The typical right field skill set, the arm is plus for me, so he'll play right field. He's an interesting guy in deeper leagues. He can carry some value.
All right. Who else?
Well, we have – should we talk about Kyle Zimmer now?
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah, he's a really hard guy to peg down. Missed last year pretty much all of it with thoracic outlet syndrome. That seems to be the new trendy thing now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of wary of Zimmer. I've kind of thought he was a reliever for a while only because he can't stay healthy. So I'm a subscriber to the theory that every pitcher's got limited bullets in their arm, so you got to figure out the best way to use them. You know what I mean? So, and I think Zimmer's best case is two or three innings at a time out of the bullpen twice a week. You know what I mean? And I think while that doesn't sound exciting, I think nowadays in baseball, how it's built now, I think that carries some value. I think trying to start him now is not the best plan. I mean, he was a first-round draft pick in 2012, and he hasn't thrown a pitch in AAA yet.
Yeah.
So that's concerning, but, I mean, obviously it's for health reasons. When he has been on the mound, he's dominant. 3.24 ERA in 64 games, 270 strikeouts in 222 innings. Like, there's nothing to argue with the stuff. The walks aren't even that bad. But they're a little bit of an issue, but nothing he can't overcome. But I think it's put up or shut up time with him now, and I think for his sake, he kind of has to reach the major leagues this year. But he's got big K per nine stuff. He can be a double-digit strikeout per nine guy if he's to stay healthy, but you can't bet on that. So wild card to the complete max, and I don't know what the role is going to be, but he's still worth investing in real deep leagues.
Speaking of wild cards, what about Josh Stout? I'm not going to pronounce his name right.
Stout. You got it right. Stoutmont, whatever. Josh Stoutmont is how I'm going to say it. Big guy, throws really hard. I went to some small junior college out west, I believe in Arizona, and it's a massive hitter's park. So, and he's doesn't throw a lot of strikes. The walks are a huge issue, but he strikes out a lot of guys. Consistently hits over 100 miles an hour, but he needs work on the off-speed pitches. A lot of guys like him a lot, or guys are like me, and they're not very excited about Strom. Yes, he throws really hard, but a 70 fastball and a 70 curveball, according to Longenhagen, and no changeup and no command. So I think he's a bullpen profile again, but I think a bullpen profile is valuable because Kansas City gets the most out of their relievers consistently. So I think him within that role is nice. But again, you know, a lot of things changed. Now all of a sudden they now are missing a starting pitcher they thought they were going to have for the next 5 years. You know what I mean? So a lot of plans change with guys. Strom or Stoutmont might have a longer leash now as a starter. You never know. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I think he's a guy that could end up starting. And
big frame, so I wouldn't be opposed. I just don't know if the stuff carries.
I think the stuff will carry. I think he needs to work on a third pitch. And definitely refine the command. The command is the biggest issue for me. If he can't harness his stuff, then it's off to the bullpen he goes, and he will be a dominating force in a bullpen. But
yeah,
that's it's just not as interesting for fantasy necessarily.
I agree.
But I mean, he could be a dominating force in the rotation as well, where he would be a huge fantasy asset if he can get a third pitch. And kind of harness some of the stuff.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it's worth noting, again, those high leverage relief roles are just as dominant as a back-end starter is. You know what I mean? For fantasy mm-hmm. purposes. So either way, Stoutmont's either going to be an elite starter because of the stuff, the big fastball and curveball, or he's going to be an elite reliever. So he's worth owning.
All right. Anybody else is close to the majors?
Ryan O'Hearn. He had a nice fall league. Kid out of Sam Houston State. Kind of turned his line drive doubles approach into more over the fence power, but at the sacrifice of strikeouts and all that stuff. But he's probably Eric Hosmer's successor at first base when Hosmer doesn't resign, because I'm assuming he won't. That's just a guess in Kansas City. I don't know how they're going to run things, but O'Hearn is interesting enough to me. Not very athletic, left-handed swinger, makes hard, loud contact, but he's a first base only, and that's a problem. But in Kansas City, that might not be with Hosmer. If Hosmer signs or walks or whatever, it's going to be a big determining factor of what O'Hearn's ultimate value is. But like I said, the walk rate is pretty good. I think he can be an above-average major league first baseman offensively. It's just a question if he's going to get the chance or not. So that sums up about the guys that are close. They have enough wild cards in the bottom part of their system that I like a lot. I guess we'll start with a guy I don't particularly care for much is A.J. Puckett, their first-round pick last year. I think they went too safe. I think he's a number four starter upside, and I think you need to do better in the first round of the draft. You look at the stuff. Fastball fluctuates, sits about 92. Curveball projects as above average. I don't see it. I've seen a lot of videos of him getting smashed with that pitch. The changeup, again, I don't see that coming around. The K numbers in the minors weren't in college at Pepperdine were not anything that excites me. 7.7, 7.5, and his junior final year was only 8.6 Ks per nine. So that doesn't do it for me. You know, obviously college arms are easier to predict success from than the major league arms are, but I'm not a real big guy on AJ Puckett. Number four starter to me. He knows how to use this stuff, but his stuff's not elite. The walk rate, which will be low, but the breaking ball needs to develop, and the strikeout rate is going to be low because of it. So let's see who else we could talk about. Chase Vilott, I really like him. He's a catching prospect with one tool, and that tool is power. He does solid OBPs. Defense is very, very questionable. He stood out and got on the map as far as a big-time prospect. You know, there's all the showcase events that high school prospects go to.
Mm-hmm.
They have all that technology now. He had the quickest bat, the best bat speed of anyone there. And they liked, the scouts liked the angle, you know, the projected, he hits the ball in the air a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they could predict that by just, you know, hooking him up to all those machines and at that time and figuring it out. And it showed. I mean, he's a career 224 hitter in the minors, hit 235 last year. But he does have good pop. Projects to be a 25-homer bat. Just, I don't know if he gets enough playing time or if he sticks behind the plate because the defense isn't there. If he doesn't stick behind the plate, he loses a lot of value. So that's something to work
on. His defense is brutal, according to scouts.
Yeah, and that's everything I've seen. It's, you know, sometimes you see people say, oh, they think, I've not seen one report yet that thinks he can stick a catcher. And that's not good because, you know, even Zach Collins, you see reports that he could catch a couple days a week. You know what I mean? Or Schwarber, you mm-hmm. saw reports that they could catch a couple days a week. I don't even see that here. I don't see reports with that at all on Vilott.
Yeah, so, that's not a good sign.
No. Not saying they're right or wrong, but, I mean, that's all we have to go off of. And catching defense is really hard to scout. You know what I mean? So, you know, you don't know the pitch calling and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. it's interesting to follow. A really deep league guy I like is 18-year-old out of Dominican Republic, Siuli Matias. Projects to be a power-hitting outfield prospect with a laser beam for an arm, so he's going to play right field. Average runner with 60-grade power. Strikes out too much. I know you're shocked to hear that as a minor league prospect strikes out too much, but he's a guy I think he's going to be solid all across the board with plus power as he develops, and that's valuable in deep leagues. So it'll be a long time. The Royals do not go quickly with their prospects at all. So, and it's worked out pretty well. They have a lot of homegrown talent on the roster now, so can't fault it. But he's a guy to invest in it, when you can, only in deeper formats. If you're in a shallower league, you can probably wait a year. He's a guy to know. Mabrys Viloria might be the most improved guy, and his numbers in the Pioneer League are outstanding. He's a catcher. Hit 376, 436, 606 in the Pioneer League, like I said. Short, squatty guy. He's going to fill out. I didn't even mean to say squatty as a catcher. That's interesting. Strikes out too much. Really good defensive skills, but they don't show yet. He's about 20 runner, but he's going to go as far as the bat can take him as far as fantasy goes, and if he can stick behind the plate, which I think he can. So if he can stick behind the plate, he's going to go, he'll advance far, but it's going to be a long time. He's a catching prospect. Can't predict those. Khalil Lee is a nice guy, like a two-way player. He was a pitcher in college, or high school, I believe. He's a high school draft pick. He's got potential to be five tools, but they're all kind of muted. He could do double-digit steals, double-digit homers, and hit 280. You know what I mean? They're all kind of muted skills. Nothing's going to pop out, but he's going to do a little bit of everything. He has a good plate approach. Can probably play center, but that's a question mark right now. He's a guy worth knowing. Khalil Lee is sounds like a football player name, but it's a baseball player. That's almost about it. A couple arms. Eric Skoglund is a bottom-of-the-rotation command guy. Nice lefty. He's 6'7", but doesn't throw really hard. So it's a weird profile. Let's see. Alec Mills is a back of the rotation starter. Jake Junis is that as well. Garrett Davila. Samir Duenas is a first base prospect, so he's automatically not going to be owned by me. But he's just got bumped to the 40 man. He can hit a little bit. That's about it. The system is nice. Nicky Lopez is a sneaky guy to watch out of this year's draft. Miguel Almonte is still around. I want to see what happens with him. I think he can be a serviceable number four starter if given the opportunity, but he had a rough year last year with injuries and stuff went backwards. Anderson Miller is a good bat out of the SEC. keep him in mind. Corey Topes had a good fall league, utility infield prospect, can hit. They've missed on a lot of arms in the draft. Luckily, Stalmont, Strom, and Skoglund, and Kyle Zimmer is still around. Bubba Starling's still there. But lucky Stalmont and Strom seem to be hits, because missing on first-rounders Nolan Watson, Ash Russell, and Foster Griffin, wasn't a first-rounder, but he was a second-rounder over the last couple of years, has really affected the system a lot. So maybe they should stay away from prep arms, huh?
What do you make of Bubba Starling?
All the tools in the world, but except for the one that matters the most, the hit tool. Mm. He was probably the worst player in the Pacific Coast League last year. And his cumulative line in 400 at-bats last year was 183, 235, 298. But he still hit seven homers and still stole 11 bases. But he struck out 145 times in those 400 at-bats. So that's not good.
No, that's not good at all.
Maybe he can still go back to Nebraska and be the quarterback. Like, because it's not going to happen here, unfortunately.
But, I mean, does he have a future role with a major league club?
I think he could. I mean, he does everything except the hit tools. I know it's a weird thing to say he does everything but hit, but he does. I mean, even despite hitting, he had 42 hits, right? 42 hits and 399 at-bats. 31 of those 42 hits were for extra bases. He had 73 hits. 31 of those 73 hits were for extra bases. That's still decent power for the little production. You know what I mean? For the little production he had. I looked at him, I liked him a lot when they took him in the first round in 2011. I'm a sucker for the athletes. He showed promise, man, and in 2012 when he debuted, started gradually falling off the cliff, showed a little pop-up in 2015, got a little more excited, and then this year I'm completely done. Anybody that hits, that is supposedly a prospect, that hits under 190 and 400 at-bats for me is done. So,
understandable.
That'll 534 OPS isn't going to carry over for me.
No, but at least he got paid in the draft.
Yeah, I still like him I'm sure he'll get a chance. He'll be a September call-up for teams down the line. He could still run. He could still play elite defense in center field. You know what I mean? So if he wants to stick that route, he can. But, the ultimate story is it's a sad one because I thought the world of him when they drafted him, but it's not going to work out.
I did too, yeah.
Another quick guy, Martin Gasparini, if you like Italians, that can play shortstop. That's the guy. Ricky Arosena is a utility, offensive first utility guy that can run, play second base in the outfield, shortstop. Another interesting guy. There's a lot of interesting guys here. I think people are a little hard on the Royal system, and it's hard to argue with their player development skills. A lot of the offensives homegrown. Yes, they were high draft picks, but they still turned out to be major league players, right? And that's mm-hmm. a win.
Yeah. So
don't sleep on the Royals.
All right. Well, that will wrap us up. Again, you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. Reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. If you give us a 5-star review and send it via email or Twitter at Fantasy Benefits, email friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Make sure you get into a listener league or are eligible for other prizes that we'll be giving away during the off season. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season. Fall.